Welcome to Serenity, a service for your well-being. I'm Peggy Nichols, and along with my spirit guide, Anthony, we're going to be your hosts for the next hour. Tonight, I have two wonderful guests, and the first one I think you're going to really enjoy having on. I met Steve Lake through Two Moon Press, which is a wonderful publishing house in Marshall, Michigan. We had him come down to Serenity to do book signing. Steve is quite impressive. He's not only an author, he's a web designer, a cloud app developer, and what a busy man. He's written 5 books that are a part of a super series called Earth Fleet Saga. And if that's not enough, he's written something for the younger people, which it's called Dreamland Articles. So, Steve, welcome aboard. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Wonderful. I am so happy to have you with me this evening, and I am very impressed with you. You're just an extraordinary person, and someone just to write one book, that's quite an achievement. And here you've written 6. Very impressive. But for our readers, Steve, could you give us a little bit of insight of what your Earth Fleet Saga, that series, what that's all about?
Well, the Earth Fleet Saga centers around an organization obviously called Earth Fleet. They're the military arm of an organization called the Society, they're basically a group of what I call uber nerds, but they're not, you know, when everyone thinks like uber nerds, they're like, oh no, not those kind of people. But these people, when they were originally born, it was back like 1597, and it was during a period when science was seen as a mortal evil. So they formed an organization for self-protection and to encourage science. And through persecution of science and other things like this, they eventually separated themselves from regular society, and then were eventually driven off the planet and took up residence in our solar system. And along the way, they discovered that the galaxy is not quite as empty as as everybody thought. So then Earth Fleet is born as a way to protect Earth from all the dangers that are out in the galaxy.
Oh, impressive. Was there something that happened in your life, Steve, that kind of motivated you to go in this direction for writing?
I've always enjoyed writing. I've been, I did it kind of just to tinker around when I was a kid, but I really took off with my writing when I was in the Army way back in 92. I just got the itch, sat down, started writing, and I've been writing ever since. Thing is, I never got published until a couple years ago when some friends were asking me, why aren't you published? And I was like, I don't know. We'll get published. I'm like, okay. So I went out. And I actually have 10 books out there. I have 5 available and 3 more on the way.
Oh, my goodness, you are busy. So you got 3 more on the way. Now, this is going to be part of the Earth Fleet.
Well, Earth Fleet Saga, the saga itself is the first, the Earth Fleet Saga is the first part of the Earth Fleet Super Series. The second saga or series within this is called the Destiny Chronicles. Basically, a super series is a collection of individual series that usually are written around a particular story arc. So it'd be like taking a regular-sized series that has a lot of books and then breaking it down into smaller chunks.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you have more of those to follow. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some description about the Earthland articles?
The Dreamland articles?
Yes. Oh, Dreamland articles. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay, the Dreamland articles is a series of short stories written for the younger reader. They're designed to challenge them for reading and to give them kind of a fun adventure to go on. There's fantasy, sci-fi, mystery. And the interesting thing about each of those stories is they're all written based on a dream. The dream is, you know, what I would do is I get a really interesting dream, and then I would use that as the foundation for writing the story.
Oh, so it's basically taking your own dreams and then just taking that and running with it?
Yeah, it's using it as an outline to write the actual story. Now, sometimes the story ended up identical to the dream. Sometimes I looked at it, the dream, and it's like, nobody's going to believe this when they read it. So I clean it up and make it better or more, make it unique or something else. A couple of them I even used as writing experiments where I would, I would experiment with a specific style of writing.
Oh, is there any particular example or a dream that we could share with the audience?
Well, there was one of them that this is a this is the so far is the favorite among all the kids out of book one is a story called Ferret's Folly. It's a story of two kids, a prince and a princess, who are basically, they're like, oh, Dad keeps us in the castle all the time. We got to take all these stupid lessons and stuff. And they decide to escape. What's unique about them is in this kingdom, everybody has the magical ability to assume the form of other animals. The stronger you get, the older you get, the more skilled you get, the more forms you can take on. When you're younger, though, you can only take on one, two, maybe three forms. And for these two children, their favorite form is the ferret, hence Ferret's Folly.
Oh, how fun. So definitely, now the age group you would think would be comfortable with this is what, around 6, 7, 8, or even possibly older?
Oh, yeah, I could go all the way up into teenagers if you wanted to.
Oh, well, I know there's so many people that just love, like, the Harry Potter and, the using magic and transformation, and how wonderful that, that good finally triumphs over the evil. In your series, does it kind of follow that theme where good does beat out the bad?
Well, yeah, the good usually wins in the end, but there's always a unique way in which they do it. In the case of... I'm trying to remember the name of the story. There's one in there called The Plague, and that might sound a little scary, but it's one that works with the idea of earth magic that comes from, I can't remember the author, but he wrote the Sword of Shannara series. And that was one of the novels I used as an experiment to try that type of, or that style of writing, and it came out pretty good.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, go ahead with what you were saying.
I was going to say so many people are now more open to the books that makes you use your imagination. I guess, lack of a better example, I'll go back to the Harry Potter or even the books of wizardry. And that I think children are finding that exciting and how getting into a book and reading it and maybe even becoming part of that instead of just being lost in a computer or on a texting and iPhones. I think, books are so magical and you can escape, this world if you want through reading. And I think literacy is so important. And in your own way, you're getting children to do just that, pick up and read instead of just being, lost into a computer or a television. And what is nice, too, with your books, because I got to compliment you because this is not an easy task, is that I hear that Barnes & Noble is picking up your books?
Yep.
Wonderful. Is there any idea of timeline that our listeners can run to the door and ask for your books?
Right now, they haven't given us a timeline of when it's going to be in. So it's usually best to just keep an eye on my website, because I'll keep people updated on what's available where, when it's available, and other things like that. Because my website, I have a lot of information on there, and I like to keep people up to date on things, what's happening. So that would be a good way to find out, is just to keep an eye on that.
Okay. Now, your website is what, therealmsofimagination.net?
Yeah, realmsofimagination.net.
Okay, and now can they also email you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and is that me@earthfleet.net?
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. And I also am talking with you earlier that you are more than glad to have signed copies from your site so you can make it very personal for that person purchasing a book.
Yeah, you can buy assigned copies right off my website.
Wonderful. And also, if they want, they could go through, what, Two Moon Press, which I believe their website is, what, authors@800publishing.com?
Yeah, or just go to the regular website, which is 800publishing.com.
Wonderful. Well, I tell you, the books look so interesting when you had them there at Serenity for the book signing, but they're very colorful. I mean, they're very pleasant to look at. It's sometimes people think of science fiction or books that are out there kind of having that gloom and scary appeal, but these are far from it. They're really very attractive looking and very eye-catching in color.
Right, and they're not the... Yeah, like you said, they're not the doom and gloom. There's a lot of fun in them. One of the things I like doing when I'm writing books is I include a lot of puns in the book, both intentional and just through the writing, they kind of fall in there. For example, one of the races in the Earthfleet series is called the Yandians. The Yandians are a felinoid race, but what's special about them is the fact that they're information nerds. They're into all collecting, analyzing, and sharing information, which goes along with the pun, the curious cat.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and there's all kinds of other things in there. Like I have a character that everybody seems to just to have attached to, which is funny because he started out as kind of a throwaway character to balance out another character within the book, and he ended up becoming a main character. He's an avianoid. From a race called the Gafondo Na, or you'll see them more commonly referred to as Fondos within the book, which is kind of their abbreviated name. And his name is Finch. And I like to call him a little feathery Yoda because he doesn't say much, but when he says it, it's usually something fairly profound. Everybody loves him. He's the counterpart to a character called Phylan, who is this grumpy, high-tempered old man who is the ambassador for Earth. So that's why I originally created Finch, is I needed someone to balance Phylan.
Well, it's interesting. You have a grumpy character that represents Earth. We do have a lot of grumpy old people on this planet, don't we?
Exactly.
Oh, now I have to ask you, Steve, is there a particular character that you mask as yourself in any of your books?
No, there's no one particular character that's me. I mean, there's little bits of me in each of the characters, but no one that's specifically me within the book.
Oh, well, maybe we'll see that up and coming in one of your books yet to be written. I have a feeling you would do justice in presenting yourself through the pages. Oh, well, I'm just so, so happy to have you on tonight, and I know that we... We have another gentleman standing by, but once again, Steve, let's have you tell the people how they can obtain your book. Would you please give them the emails and the websites that they can go to?
Yeah, if they go to realmsofimagination.net and they go over to the book section, it has individual pages for each one of the books, and there's information on each of those pages that tells you where you can get a hold of the book. You can purchase signed copies. You can go out to the social networking sites and find out more about them or interact and other stuff like that. Like I say, the site is full of information. If you want to know anything, head over there.
Wonderful. And keep an eye there at Barnes & Noble. And also, I understand you can go to Amazon.com?
Correct, as well as a number of other places.
Excellent. And, of course, they could probably go to Two Moon Press, and probably look up and get any of the books through them.
Uh-huh.
Well, wonderful. Steve, you've been just absolutely wonderful and a delight having on this evening. I look forward to having you down at Serenity for more book signings and looking forward to that next publication.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll be seeing you soon, I am sure.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Steve. Good night. Wow, folks, please check into his website. He's such a delightful young man and just full of life. And his series, I think you'll really enjoy. So pick up a book, read, and get lost in this wonderful land that he's created. And I'm going to ask our wonderful people at BBS to let me have just a short pause here so we can bring on our next guest. And we'll be back here in just a moment or two.
BBS Radio.com.
Welcome back, and we're getting ready for our next guest who, again, is going to be a lot of fun having on the air. And if time permits, we're going to open up the lines for you to call and ask some questions. This gentleman will just amaze you. His name is Reverend John Linick. He is an ordained spiritualist minister. He's a certified teacher medium for the mental and physical. He has been serving spiritualist churches and campuses across the United States. And he also is a pastor at Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Temple of Love and Light. He currently works with churches not only in the United States, but also in various countries. He is quite famous, I'm going to put it out there for you, John, on his transfiguration and materialization demonstrations. So without further ado, hello, Reverend John Linick.
Well, good evening, Peggy. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for taking time out of, I know, a very, very busy schedule to have you with me tonight and on BBS Radio. I definitely want to get into talking about your transfiguration and your materialization. But before we go there, I'd like to give our listeners a little background of you. As myself, I think I was around 5 years old when I knew I was really different from the neighbor kids, and life I was just seeing through different eyes than most of the other 5 and 6 year olds. May I ask, at what age did you know you were different, and how did you become aware and awakened to that difference?
Well, yes, Peggy. At age 5, I began actually seeing past lives. I've seen maybe 4, 5, 6 lives, one after the other. And it just continued. It seemed to be a different path all the way through. I guess most of your mediums, they start in childhood, sensitive to many things there, and you pick up on so many different vibrations. But it seemed like the gateway was opened very early at age. And then it continued on in the years where I actually was seeing spirit and manifesting in daylight, and then actually going to guided from one place to the next, and then the spiritualist church is the one in Toledo, Ohio, where I went through some deeper studies, and if you'd like me to go into it a little briefly, I can.
Would you please? Yes.
Sure. I, for 10 years, I studied under Reverend Dr. James Tingley, and he was a devout materialization, trumpet, apport, precipitation medium, along with being an internationally famous medium of all the mental gifts as well. For over a decade, I sat in over 3,500 trumpet seances, and for those that of you listeners that don't know what trumpet is actually an aluminum, a four-piece aluminum device that the ectoplasm in which flows from a medium is connected to, and the trumpet actually levitates, and up to three voices simultaneously can speak out of it, independent of the medium. And could you imagine being able to speak to spirit, maybe perhaps from the fifth plane, or your spirit loved ones that way? So between that and materialization seances, that's where my training came, but it was a special training over years where my classroom was the actual seance room, as it is known, direct communication with spirit, not through a clairvoyant, but talking, dialing direct like we are right now.
Yeah, so spirit can not only reach out and touch us, but in a way we can reach out and touch them. When I first met you through the Spiritualist Church in Jackson, you know, not only listening to your sermon, but your mediumship. Many times there are readers out there or people who do mediumship, and it can be very vague, but I was so impressed that spirit definitely works hand in hand with you, and when you can pull out someone from the congregation and bring forth names and give a description of the spirit standing beside or behind them, very impressive. And just seeing the face of pleasure for those that you were giving those messages from, the loved ones that they thought were lost. I think people don't realize that the soul never dies, and that spirit is always with us. And it's with people like you and I, myself and many, many others that can see that spirit and be their messenger.
Oh, yes. Actually, the Corinthian Spiritualist Church has many, many special memories. One of them I'll never forget, if I may, for a brief moment, share with the, your audience there. One day I was giving messages, and a woman had to be at least in her, well into her 80s, came running over to me after the service, and she said, Reverend John, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what happened? And she said, while you were giving messages, she actually seen a spirit walk right out of me to her in full light. And it was a young man in a World War II uniform, and he said, and he walked right over to her and said, hi, it's me, John, your first husband, don't you remember me? And it was clairvoyantly, but she understood, and she was just in awe, because spirit can work in so many mysterious ways through the mediums, and there's so many talented mediums around that can bring the proof, and that's what it's all about, to bring the proof of the continuity of life with proof messages, messages, greetings of love, of inspiration, of guidance, and when we have that, the world becomes such a great place to live.
Well, it does, and I think it lets people be aware that, you know, death isn't, you know, I even hate using the word death, because there really is, there isn't any, because our life continues, our soul. We're just not needing this vessel that we're housing in right now. And that our spirit, we want to be seen, we want to be noticed in this realm and from the others. When a spirit comes to me, of course, my hands get very, very cold. And it's not because their vibration is cold or they're not loving. It's just my signal that I'm here. And then it makes me pay attention. Then I can focus and bring them in more clearly through my third eye. Is there a particular signal, if you will, that when a spirit is around you, is it like a rush of heat or a coldness? Or are they just there for you?
There, many times they come right in. You could tell the pitch of your ears changing, and then all of a sudden a whisper comes, or you could actually see them standing right by their loved one right there. And yet they're standing there, but across the room, they're actually communicating to you, so it's kind of like a biolocation. You see them, and yet you hear them at the other end where you're at. And, you know, I bring them in. Like, a lot of times you could identify what they look like. their names, first name, last name, something particular that they did that nobody else perhaps did. And once, you know, I go by the sound vibration of people. So when I do phone readings, it doesn't matter where someone is. I've actually done party line, like where I've actually had a father in Oklahoma City and did a reading for him and his son in Salem, Massachusetts at the same time, because spirit can adapt to all the situations, some unusual things. Like, for example, even reading for people in Washington State several years ago, I had two ladies from Japan that couldn't speak English and I couldn't understand Japanese. And once you know it, out of the clear blue sky, a young man, David Chapman, came out of nowhere and he became my interpreter. And still those ladies were in tears, because spirit knows the universal language of love, and that love can reach anybody, regardless of language or location.
Yes, and spirit does have a sense of humor, and I don't want to take away from your time here, but you'll appreciate this, how spirit works. I was doing mediumship at the Corinthians, and spirit came in, and it was a man, and he was dressed in a robe, and he took like his hand down at the end of the robe, and he's like he's going to flash me. And I'm looking at him, and I'm telepathically going, "You don't do that. You're in church." And he just started laughing. And he's just toying, like he's going to open his robe. And so he's doing that, and I sang to the congregation, and I looked around, and I said to the two ladies in front, I said, "He belongs to you." And I said, "This is your father and grandfather, and he's here in his robe," and I gave the message. Well, it didn't really have any impact, other than it was odd that he's coming to church in a robe, that afterwards their girls came up and they just started crying because her father died in his bathrobe. And every time they would go over to visit while he was living, he loved being in it. And it was just, that was him. That's how he identified himself to his daughter and granddaughter, being in his robe and having a real twisted personality, if you will. But he let it be clear that his daughter and granddaughter knew it was him. So spirit does have a personality. They like having fun, and that being on the other side isn't horrible. Actually, it's for them, it's just a way of continuing life. So
yes,
that's one of my funny stories. So I'll give it the audience back to you now.
Oh, well, that was, you know, I've seen so many, like you mentioned before, spirit will come in, and sometimes people aren't ready for them, but they don't realize that spirit is progressing. The doorway to reformation is never closed to any soul here or hereafter. And I remember some of the humor even in the message services where my teacher, Reverend Tingley, was giving a message to one of the ladies out there, and he brought in a gentleman that was her first husband. And he said, "I brought so-and-so here." And then, no answer. Then he said, "And he's dead." And she said, "Good." And it's like, oh, my goodness, the crowd just lost it right there. But they can bring in proof so many times, like some of the oddest things, like the rope, maybe something unusual. Like one time I picked up something for a young man, and he was trying to connect with his uncle. And the one thing I seen was that he actually, at a family reunion many years ago, that he kind of had too much, you know, alcohol, as some of us do on the earth plane, and he kind of walked toward the pond and he slipped in. And I didn't really want to bring the message, but that's what spirit showed me, and that's what he wanted me to give to his nephew, and it was a proof message right there. They'll bring in humor, and sometimes you could smell the apple pie or the chicken dinner cooking, because that's how strong they'll progress it. You could actually see them standing there with love all around them.
Oh, and, absolutely. And spirit, many times they'll not only give us a message, but they will bring in a fragrance. I remember this one lady I was doing a session with, and her grandmother came in with this wonderful fragrance of roses, and it was just so, you know, strong. And she says, "Let her know that when she smells roses, it will be my signal that I'm there with her. Well, a few days later, this young lady who was from Canada, she came back in to see me, and she was just welling, and she says, Peggy, after I left, I'm walking down the street, I turned the corner, and I was overwhelmed by the smell of roses. And I looked all around, and there's not a rose to be seen. But I smelt them. And she said, I just started to cry because, as you said, it was going to be that signal from my grandmother. I'm here. I'm walking with you. You know, and how wonderful being that messenger and to be part of that connection with this realm and the other. And that is such an amazing feeling and a fulfillment, as I know that you get as I do, and the hundreds and thousands of us who are out there being the ambassador to divine. You know, how very blessed we are to have these gifts, and because that's what they truly are, they're gifts.
Yes,
dear, I'm sorry.
With those gifts, each of us, we make our vows to spirit, to God and spirit, what we're going to do with those gifts. And when we use it for the best and highest good, we just keep unfolding. If I may share with you one of the greatest turning points in my life, that was when about my third seance, and it happened to be a materialization seance, if I could share that. I was the only sitter there, and my teacher was in a cabinet. The cabinet is an enclosure with a curtain in front of it. A dimmed red light, just barely able to see the cabinet, but the ectoplasm, the light substance that comes out that we each possess, it's like in weight and mass about 25 to 44 pounds in weight. And the proof could be actually weighing a person before or while they're living, and after they pass, we actually lose that much weight. Well, it's that life-giving substance that is exteriorated. And I actually, Spirit actually told me to rise from my seat and walk toward the cabinet. And when I walked toward the cabinet, he told me to stop. And lo and behold, it was my own father in spirit. And I stood there. It was a sky blue light. And there he was standing inside it. Could you imagine that, Peggy?
Oh, my God. I know you just had to be overwhelmed.
Yes. We stood there for 3 to 4 minutes just looking at each other face to face. Not even a foot between us, and all of a sudden, and I was understanding him clairvoyantly. That was the amazing thing. And we reached for each other's hand, and because he knew what I was doing, I was reaching, the energies were compatible, and I actually felt that iron grip that he had when he was a machinist on the earth plane. The only difference was it wasn't a physical body, so it was just a cool feeling. And let me tell you, Peggy and everyone, I'm not afraid to admit it. I broke down and I literally cried. I said, oh, my God, I'm in the best of both worlds right here, right now. And from then on, I seen the proof, and I realized I was told by Spirit that I had the gifts. So it's kind of like the torch is passed from one teacher to the next, like you. You have that torch, and you're enlightening so many lives by what you do each and every day. It's like we live, we breathe Spirit and all that love that goes with it. And it is truly a pleasure to be an instrument of God and Spirit, because it seems like the doors open, they keep opening, and the challenges keep coming. It's amazing what can be done in such the miracles, like things that the key is that you have to believe in ourselves, never doubt ourselves. Oftentimes, young mediums struggle, and they stand in their own sun by self-doubt. And that's a shame, because what we do is we work with them to train them to be those ambassadors to carry on.
Yes, and that's one of the key things, and what a wonderful statement when you say we almost like we eat, breathe, drink Spirit and being an ambassador, and our life, our actions, our thoughts, you know, trying to keep them as pure as possible, being that reflection of Spirit, always wanting Spirit to look down with a smile and not a frown upon us. And it's wanting to please not only Spirit, but we find such a sense within our own soul. I know having Anthony, which I always give him credit, my spirit guide, because he's my best friend. And you can appreciate what I'm saying here, John, is that, you know, God, Spirit gives us these wonderful gifts, being our spirit guides, and they are with us through the thick and the thin of it. They love us unconditionally, and they always have our best interest at heart. And you're never alone. And it's such a wonderful feeling to have like a confidant and someone you can talk to, and knowing that they're there and there's no judgment.
Exactly. With no judgment and eternal love. And they, by what we desire, what we put out. And basically, I found that the key to my own growth was, if you help others, you help yourself automatically. It's by giving to humanity that we truly receive. With help, abundance, all of the things and necessities in life are automatically taken care of. So could you imagine helping people and that kind of life? It's like living a piece of heaven right here, right now. And it never ends. Your guides are with you unconditionally. And if you put the desire out there of what your true intentions are, they can open doors for you through a series of events. And we realize that nothing is impossible in life, only if we put self-doubt in. And with spirit, it just keeps coming, the manifestations. And many times, most people don't even realize there's a little secret here, and many mediums don't even share this. And that is, to all of our listeners out there, when you see spirit and how spirit manifests to you, they're actually showing you what gifts you have. So, example, if you see spirit in full light, that means, and you're the only one that sees it, they're showing you for your eyes only that you have the gift of daylight materialization. And I know many people out here, I always get a chuckle when I always quiz my students, or I'll pick up on it, on how many people out have things that disappear in their house and reappear. And that shows you right there, it's the gift of apport, because your guides are showing you. They're not playing tricks, they're not mischievous, they're just showing you your gifts. Isn't that amazing, Peggy?
Oh, it is. And trust me, Anthony sometimes plays games. I go, a wonderful example the other day. Anthony and I was talking, and he was giving me ideas for my book that I'm writing. And a subject came up, and he says, okay, you need to write that down in your booklet. And I go, but Anthony, it's in my house in Florida. And he goes, go into your office, look in the one drawer. I swear to you, John, I go into my office, I open up the drawer, there's my book that I knew I left in Florida. I did not bring it with me here to Michigan. There it was. And I looked up at Anthony, I went, thank you, I will write the notes in the booklet. And he just smiled back and just like, it, without any question, as like, okay, you needed it, I brought it to you. And it's so amazing. Anthony, Spirit, the Divine, never cease to amaze me. Each and every day, it's such a wonder, a delight, and I just feel so blessed to be part of the big scheme of things here, to assist in whatever manner that I am guided to do. And you do that, oh my goodness, in such a large scale. I know that you're not only working with the churches here in the United States, but you're, let's tell the viewers about some of the countries and places you're going to be going to.
Yes, I just was confirming and working on bookings right now into the UK with Ireland and England. And if I may say hello to a dear, dear friend, to Greta, wishing you a great hello out there in Lancashire. I want to, with the churches, and we're also working on bookings for the also New Zealand with friends out there. And it's about traveling, it's about teaching, it's about demonstrating. And you know what's amazing, Peggy, in this day and age, with all of our media putting new light to the phenomena, sometimes it goes from one extreme to the other, but either way, there's a consciousness, a race consciousness, in not only our nation but around the world. Some were going into the UFOs, and many are going into deeper spirit investigations. I recently gave a demonstration, I'm very proud of this, in Tacoma, Washington, where we actually had a spiritualist church and a Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints church hand-in-hand sitting there in the same seance and actually seeing the transfiguration of spirit. And you'll see in a developed transfiguration, you actually see the faces right over the medium's face. It's like a white ectoplasm, men, women, children, and it changes at such a fast rate of about 180 faces per minute. And the phenomena usually last about an hour to an hour and a half when it's developed. And then they also see materializations of fully developed spirits alongside. And you know, that was the most beautiful thing, to see two different religions side by side with openness, with love. And I notice many of our religions now, they're opening their eyes and they're opening their hearts because they know there's something deeper, and it's within reach of all of us. That's the beauty of it. The mysticism and the higher truths and higher learning isn't a myth, but it's actually a reality that many of us have those gifts right along.
Yes, and but I'm sure you found along the way, John, that so many people are, they're gifted, but they're afraid of it, and they just, or they don't think they're going to be accepted by their family members, and like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm crazy, or, you know, I don't want to know, I don't want to see. So we do have free will. Spirit will not force anything on us that we really don't want. But I think we need to encourage people that it's nothing to be afraid of. It is such a wonderful gift. What a blessing to be able to see spirit, to communicate if it will be your gift to animals, how you can assist them and aid them in the manner they need. So gifts come in many shapes, sizes. It's just being open to it. And I know in doing some of my classes, this one particular lady, I remember saying, Spirit is telling me your gift is going to be able to communicate to those in the other realm that are who are past. And she got very offended. She goes, no, I that's not the gift I want. I don't want it. I want this. And I go, well, it doesn't quite work that way.
Exactly. Exactly. We go through an order of events. Many people see the physical gifts, and they want it right away. But we go through a series of tests and trials and tribulations. And each time, for example, you've went through the healing exercises and the training for healing and then to mental mediumship and other phases of mediumship. And the laws that we have to live by as mediums are more stricter, more disciplined. And we go through an order of things. Anytime we try to upset that and try to go against it, it's like everything is a natural flow, natural energy. Just like mediumship, spiritual gifts is a natural thing, and it should flow. It should never be forced. And with everything, it continues in that flow. I've seen so many extremes in spirit communication with people, and it's amazing. Every time spirit manifests, and each and every demonstration, no two ever alike. Have you noticed that? And same with what you get in mental mediumship, you'll notice you could read for the same person a week later, and you're going to see so many other things. That spirit will show you the facets, different facets of a person.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned the laws of the universe, because there are those laws. We have these gifts, but we have to follow guidelines, and it's wonderful because it's not that, to me, it's not challenging. It just helps me to live a more pure and a comfortable and loving life, and knowing what my guidelines are, and you just instinctively know. There's no booklet out there for you to read. You just know. And I'm sure that's how it comes across to you, John. It's just, there's not a booklet, there's not a guideline. It's there in our higher self. And the higher self will never lie to us.
Exactly. Exactly. And many times it comes to us in the series. Remember as children how when we studied for the test, in school and we were cramming, and how many times did we take that pencil and tap the top of our forehead, that third eye, the pineal right there? And what were we doing as children? We didn't even know about metaphysics, but we were awakening, you know, a higher consciousness. And how many times did we say we had that gut feeling, and everything happened exactly like it came the first time? It's when we change our minds on things and second guess when we seem to get in so much trouble, because we go against that natural flow of things.
Exactly.
And spirit gives it to us the first time, the right time.
And that's it. And so many people, and I'm sure you've seen it in your classes, it's like something will come, but then they try to dissect it. It's like, you know, they try to overanalyze it. It's like, hold the phone here. Wait a minute. Just take it for what it was. You know, don't try to change it. Don't try to manipulate it. Just let it be what it was. And it's like when we do mediumship, there are times that it does not make any sense to us, but we have to say it the way that Spirit brought us that message, because it will connect to the person receiving it. As the dad up there on stage trying to flash me with his robe, you know, it's just, it took us by surprise, but we are disciplined and we have to give the message and the way it's presented, because it will make sense to the person receiving it. And there's never any two messages alike. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And it's kind of like sometimes we don't understand things, but the key to that is not to form judgments. If we don't understand, put it on the back burner for a little bit, and sometimes the answer comes to us. You have to remember that God's science and man's science, God's science defies all logic, where man's science, everything is categorized, labeled, and if we don't see it, it doesn't exist. But yet, this world was formed of creation. We may not have seen the child born, you know, the seed of the child, but yet everything comes from darkness into light, just like the child in the womb of the mother, the seed in the ground. But sooner or later, everything comes to light, and we just go with the flow. It's that faith that we have, and with our spirit guides, we trust them. As we get developed in higher phase of mediumship with trance and materialization and tropic, we actually put our lives in their hands. In a literal sense, because they control our respiratory, our circulatory systems. They take us into a deep sleep where we're actually separated sometimes from our physical bodies. And the only thing binding us is that silver cord. So there's a trust that's built, and it must be a steady thing. So many people want the higher gifts, but they don't realize what's put into it all the time. And spirit works diligently. One of the biggest things that I find with many people, they get impatient. And a lot of times, even in the stillness of things, there is so much that is going on with spirit that we think we're not getting development, but it's our self-doubt that actually pushes us back if we just continue to use our gifts. And like any gift, it doesn't have any value if it isn't given back out there. So many people, they're told, like a lot of times we'll give messages and we see what gifts they have, and they have a smile on their face, but we tell them, you have to develop it. And besides developing it, you have to give it back. Because if you don't, how can you develop and expect it to grow?
Exactly. Well, you're probably much like me, John. We never turn off. We're always there 24/7, connected to spirit, because it's timelines from the heaven and the earth vary. And so it's like we're on call 24/7, but it's okay. I don't want to shut down. If there is a need, spirit, as you say, we will be taken out of body and go into the other realm and the other dimensions. And it's so beautiful there. And it's just for us an escaping from this world and the negativity. And it's like we're being recharged. And it's just being in that purity of love and the divine, which, it's beyond words, but it's given to us when our human body, mental body, needs that. Spirit will take good care of us. There is never, never a doubt. But I want to make sure, John, because I know our time is going to be coming to an end here in about 7 minutes. Let's give all the information we can to our listeners of how they can contact you, because you are, listeners, he's an amazing medium, and energy has no boundaries. If you want a reading, information, I don't care if you're halfway around the world. John can connect with you, and you would not be disappointed. So get a pencil, paper, whatever. Please write down the information he's going to give you so you can contact him. So, John, without further ado, I'll let you give him that information.
All right. You could email me, ladies and gentlemen, at rev.j.c.lilek, and it's spelled L-I-L-E-K, at gmail.com. And my phone number is 419-787-2787. And for all of you Facebook fans, I'm also on Facebook. Just look up John Lilek, and it's John, J-O-H-N, Lilek, L-I-L-E-K. Love hearing from you and love to help you any way I can. Thank you.
And John, now, where is your next adventure taking you?
Well, actually, I'm getting ready tomorrow to leave for the National Spiritual Alliance Camp in Lake Pleasant, Massachusetts. I have several days there where we're actually going to do some transfiguration demonstrations. Then the following week, I will be at Temple Heights Spiritual Camp in Northport, Maine. A full week of readings, of demonstrations of transfiguration and materialization. And we have some classes there in spiritual development. And then the following week, I'll be at Camp Etna in Etna, Maine. And we'll kind of round that trip up and then start heading back to the Pittsburgh, where later on we go to Florida and out west back again in November. And,
now,
of course, the UK coming up in spring in March and April. So, yes, life is really good because Spirit is opening the door for all of us, and we all have something to share, and it is truly a pleasure to serve each and every day.
It truly is. Now, John, now they can go to your website where they can see a listing of all the places that you're going to be for these special events. So that way, if people are living in that area, can just attend. There are various churches that you will be doing, like mediumship, after services and that. So they can get a listing of all those places through your website.
Yes, they can. And I also have a blog spot over on Facebook, too. If you look at the lower, right by the email, there's my blog spot, John Lilek, Reverend John Lilek blog spot. Love hearing from you. Any comments, questions, and feel free. One thing I do, and I do tutor students for the special gifts around the world. I have several students in the UK and also in the United States that I do exclusive tutoring for the advanced gifts of physical mediumship. But when I teach a class, I actually leave all my information, and for my students, I actually do follow up on them. So if they do run into questions or problems, I'm always happy to take the time to help them further along in their development. I don't believe in just teaching in a class and disappearing. I believe that the work, because the key is our students, we want our students to surpass us in our gifts. Because look at it this way, it's kind of a little joke I have. Many people are worried about the 401k, but a medium's 401k is planting the seeds in their students. Because think about it, Peggy, when we get on the other side, and when we see through heaven's window on the earth side, we're going to have a whole lot more to say. And wouldn't it be nice to have really good mediums to channel through? That's our 401k.
Absolutely. So we want to be well invested in this side and the other. Oh,
exactly.
Wonderful. Well, John, I thank you so much for being with the BBS family tonight. It's such a pleasure talking with you, and I hope our guests and people listening, please get a hold of you for some guidance, wanting to do their spiritual development. You have so many beautiful gifts, and as you say, they are to be used. We're not here just to sit back and collect dust. So I know you're going to be called. If it's just by one or a thousand, I know you're going to be there with extended helping hand. So with that, my dear, I once again thank you for being with me tonight, and I'm sure we'll be in contact with one another and keeping in touch of our very busy schedules. And we'll just have to exchange stories.
Pleasure to serve, and pleasure to be on BBS. Thank you so much, Peggy.
Thank you so much, John, and good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Well, listeners, my time is coming to an end, and I again want to say a big thank you to Reverend John Linick for being a guest, and also Mr. Steve Lake. And for those who've been writing their memoirs or writing the book and you don't know where to go, please look into Two Moon Press. Wonderful people. They're very hands-on. The owner, Don Sonora, and his wife and staff are just amazing people. So please contact Two Moon Press for any questions you have about wanting to publish your book, no matter how big, how small. And also go through authors at 800publishing.com. They're there to help you and answer any questions you have. And I know I'll be using their services, hopefully within a few months when I have my books out there too. So with time closing in, I wish you all a wonderful evening and look forward to being with you next week on BBS at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So until then, Anthony and I bid you a good night.